There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. As you'll hear in our first story today, someone did that. And it's crystal clear, lovely audio. So it's always fun to get those. If you want to interact with us on social media, plenty of places to do that at Real Ghost Stories Online and Facebook, Twitter, Ghost Story Radio, Instagram, Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat. The username there is Ghost Podcast if you want to find us on any of the social media platforms. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I am doing lovely. And yourself?
I'm good.
I know I noted this in the car earlier, but I found it interesting because it was the first time I had heard a commercial, and I won't say the name of the product, for a certain brand of frozen treat that has had a rough couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden I heard their ad again today, and I just haven't caught it. Maybe it has been running. I don't know. But it was that kind of signature sound that it has with the older man kind of like talking to you about how the good old days were and having some of the product. And it's like an old friend that does this or does that. And it was really kind of touchy-feely.
Mm-hmm.
But because the product has had kind of a rough time because of some health scares with it.
Uh-huh.
My thought on the ad is like, I don't know if this is like the exact way to approach the product. It's like an old friend. It's like, it's like an old friend that was like convicted and acquitted of, murder or some heinous crime. And and then you're like, everybody says it's fine now, but you're still kind of, not quite. That is literally how I feel about the product.
Okay.
I mean, it's like I would love to have. It's a real parallel there. Mm-hmm. It's like if you had someone in your life, a friend, a family member or something, it's like, well, I'm kind of questioning being alone in the same room with you or you watching my kids or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It's like I really think I'm probably going to be fine, but I don't. It's in your mind.
It's in the back of your mind, and you're just not sure.
Exactly. That's kind of how I feel. I just would love to hear the old man on the ad do the, that's sort of an analogy.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's like an old friend. Used to be really close, and now you can't quite trust him anymore. Might be good, might be bad. You never really know. Till you take that first bite of... Insert product name here. So, anyway.
I'll play ice cream roulette with it.
You're going to try it?
I will, yeah. I grew up with it.
You haven't tried it since, though, have you?
No, because... Every time you hear a commercial, you make some kind of horrible comment. So
that's how it ends?
Yeah.
It's like you're just getting your courage back up to try the product, and then it's like, I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah. I think I would do it. I don't know. When's the last time they had a scare?
I don't know.
Because it was kind of one of those deals where it's like there was a big one, and then it's like, okay, we think it was better. Oh, wait, scare again. Then it was like, but I think it's been consistent for a while that it's been like not hurting people. It's been edible.
So, I think so.
I hope so. 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller of the day or submission that was emailed to us. Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Drew here from Missouri calling back again. I told the story about how my dog chased off a shadow person the last time I called. So this story is about the time that I worked at a preschool. And some crazy stuff happened. So I'm going to try to be as condensed as possible telling this because it happens over the course of the next 7 or 8 years. So starting off, I worked there for about probably a year and a half or so. And I started closing the daycare. So after everyone else would leave, I would go around and lock up all the doors, make sure the chores were done and stuff like that. So in the wintertime, the sun goes down pretty early, and it was 6:30 when we closed. It was very dark in the building. I had turned the lights out, and then I had gone back to the back door to make sure I had locked it because I was paranoid. So no one had said anything. The previous people that closed hadn't made any mention of anything weird happening there, so I didn't have this thought like in my head going into it. So I'm closing the back door, and I get this feeling, and I just kind of turn around, and there is what looks like a man. He's got like a pea coat on and gray slacks, and he's walking towards the laundry area, and there's no door back there like to leave from. So I run down because I really legitimately thought there was a person inside the daycare with us, with me. So I run down there, I turn the corner, there's nobody there. I go around and I check all of the doors again. All of the doors are still locked, which you have to lock with a key. So that was the first thing that happened. So over the course of the next 6 years, everything from a trash can in the kitchen getting thrown across the room. I didn't see it happen, but when I went in there, the trash can was like upside down, the lid was off of it, and the trash was all across the floor. Whenever I would have to use the restroom at night, I would lock the door because I'm paranoid being in the building by myself, and the door handle would rattle back and forth while I was in the bathroom, and that was quite often that that happened. You'd hear people call your name. I had someone scratch my back, and I thought it was another employee messing with me, and I spun around. And they weren't in the same room with me, and they were in the kitchen, and I yelled for them, and they came, and I said, something just scratched my back. It wasn't like a violent scratch, but like really softly. And they said, you've got fingernail prints down the back of your hoodie. And it was just, they finally believed that stuff was going on. So, not long after that happened, I was walking and I heard my name called, and then I felt an icy hand on my face for a second. So like lots of freaky stuff happened. So I went on vacation, I came back from vacation, and they had installed a security camera system where there were night vision cameras all over the room. It was to, you know, so the parents could watch the kids and stuff while they were gone at work. So I'm closing one night. Nothing's happened since they installed the camera system, and I lock up the building, and I'm walking out the front door, and we have double doors that close in the middle, and something hit it hard enough that those doors rattled back and forth, and by the time I spun around because I heard this loud noise, the doors were still shaking. So I start laughing, and I scream, ha, I gotcha. I go, we got a camera. So I looked at my watch, remembered the time. First thing in the morning, I go straight in there to the manager, and I go, look up this time in the computer, and you're going to see something crazy happen, because there's a camera pointing right at the front door. So we go through, we find the time. I give her like 5 minutes before so she can watch me walk through the building. About 2 seconds before I get ready to go out the front door, every camera in the building goes blank. And then it stays blank until after the time that I said it happened. And then you can see me through the window walk across the parking lot to my car, and like you could see my headlights drive away. So I never saw anything. Some other people had to close whenever I was like on vacation and stuff. They would not stick around. So I don't know if anyone else had too many experiences. The funny thing was that directly next door to our building was an antique store. So I kind of wonder if that might have something to do with it. So thank you very much. If you guys play my story, I love you guys' show. I'm a proud EPP member since the last time I called in. Keep up the great work. Love you guys. Bye.
That would be hard to know if there's an antique store next door, if it is something in there or if it's something in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it is something in the antique store, what thing is it?
Narrow that shit down.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, that's a good observation there and assumption possibly that that is what may be causing it or where it, some of it may be originating, if you will. That I would say, you know, just the fact that all the cameras went out is almost even more evidence that there is something going on than even what that camera would have caught.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that all of them went out at once, it wasn't just like one all of a sudden had a time lapse. It's like, what the hell? That just shows truly that there is something going on. Because you could watch something in the video and you could be very subjective onto what happened on camera. Mm-hmm. Well, it could have been this. It could have been a bird. It could have been, you know, you can come up with a ton of rational explanations. Not so likely in terms of them happening, but rational.
Yeah.
And that could be written off, which is probably where that would have gone to. The fact that all the cameras went out, I think, is even a stronger tell.
Yeah.
On the situation than anything else. Thank you for sharing that creepy, creepy story. Would you send your child to a preschool that's haunted or a daycare center that's haunted if you knew it?
If I knew it, mm-hmm. I think I'd have a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid I'd want to attach to my kid and come home.
You start asking about the kids they're playing with, and they start talking about kids that really don't go there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my nightmare. Best friend. You go to talk to the teacher. Oh, yeah, how's so-and-so? My little kid's best friend.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a kid in that class. There's no kid in the school with that name.
It's like, oh, are you sure? Well, let me look at the records. Oh, my God. Well, 15 years ago, a child of that same name at that same age died.
Right.
You know, or something. You know, it's like,
choked,
oh, my.
Choked on a Lego or something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Oh, be creepy. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kirsten from Los Angeles, California. My boyfriend recently got me completely addicted to your show, and I'm now an EPP. We listen to it all the time, especially when we're going on road trips and things like that. So this is a pretty recent story. My boyfriend and I are both pretty into the paranormal. So, we found this hilarious. We went to Julian, California for our anniversary this past year. It was around, the Halloween, holiday. And, I'm from Chicago originally. So my boyfriend wanted to take me somewhere where the leaves changed because he knew I missed fall. So Julian, California is this really cute town, very old-fashioned, Western-looking. It's known for their apple cider and apple pies and things like that. And a lot of people settled there during the gold rush. So we went looking for just like a romantic weekend. We weren't really looking for paranormal activity, but we found that anyway. So we get to this hotel. It's called the Gold Rush Hotel in Julian, California. We walk in, and it's really quaint and cute. It's just this really old house with a parlor. And I jokingly say to my boyfriend, I was like, oh, well, this place is definitely haunted. And he's kind of like, yeah, huh? And because we had also listened to your podcast the entire way there. So I already kind of had that in my head. But we get to the front desk, and the lady says, go upstairs, whatever door is open. Those are the rooms that have not been occupied yet. Pick whichever one you want, and we will go ahead and get you a key. So my boyfriend and I go upstairs, and we look at several rooms, and they're all really cute, but there's this one room, room number 10, that is just calling to us. Like, we both went in, and we both said, oh my gosh, this is it. This is where we're staying. It was just so comfortable feeling and so quaint and had a really, really cute view of the backyard. And so we're like, okay, this is the room where we're staying. So we settle in. We do some sightseeing of the area. We go to dinner, and then we come back to the room, and it's a little bit darker. And I don't know, I just started getting a really strange feeling, looking around. What looked really cute during the day kind of had a really eerie feeling. Like pictures on the wall seemed to kind of have eyes that followed you wherever you went. There was a old-fashioned wardrobe in the room, and you just watched The Conjuring. It was Halloween time, and so I was a little freaked out by that. And of course, my boyfriend's like, "Well, then you get that side of the bed." And so I was trying to stay away from the wardrobe because I just got a really weird feeling with that. So that night, my boyfriend's like, "Let's go find a drugstore because I want to get a bottle of wine, and I also want to see if I can get some cigarettes." So as we're leaving, we're walking down the stairs to the front lobby, and out of the corner of my eye, as we're passing the parlor, I could have sworn I saw a woman with dark hair and in long petticoat type robes, like red and black. And so I turned to look again after my brain kind of registered what I had seen, and she was gone. Instead, it was just this blonde cleaning lady that was in the room. And so I kind of brushed it off. I was like, "Oh, I probably just thought I saw something." So I was relieving, though. I told my boyfriend, and I was like, "That just kind of felt really weird." And he says, "Oh, my gosh, we have to do an EVP when we get back to the room." And at first, I'm kind of, like, jazzed about that idea. I'm like, "Yeah, that kind of sounds fun." And then as we get back to the room, I'm just feeling so weird about it. I became such a chicken. I did not want to participate. So he's the one asking all the questions. We, of course, turn the lights off. And we finally get to the question, "What is your name?" And we hear this loud pop. And we realize we had left a plastic cup on the desk. And we just assumed that maybe it popped or something open. But we really don't know for sure. I just thought the timing of it was so weird. We didn't catch anything else on the EVP, but that was enough to freak me out that I was like, "Okay, I'm done. No more EVP for tonight." So that night while we were sleeping, I wake up because I'm freezing. And I realize that my covers have been pulled off of me. And I'm notorious for kicking my covers off in the middle of the night and moving around a lot. It drives my boyfriend nuts. So I just assume that's what I've done. So I pull the covers back up and I snuggle back in, and I start to feel my covers getting peeled off of me. And I look over thinking like it's my boyfriend, but you know, in my sleepiness, I don't realize like he's on the other side of me. Like that makes no sense. He wouldn't be on the side that the covers are getting peeled off. So, and he's out cold, he's snoring. So I'm like, "Oh my God, this is freaky." So I pull the covers back up really quickly, and I wrap them around me really tight, and I snuggle back in. I'm trying to fall back to sleep, but I keep feeling these covers getting peeled off of me. I don't know how I finally fell asleep, but I did. And the next morning, I tell my boyfriend, and he was like, "That's so weird." He's like, "I didn't want to freak you out, but I started having a really weird feeling before we did the EVP when we came back to the room." He's like, "I just felt something was really strange and not so nice." And so we check out of the hotel, and as we're leaving, we get to the front porch, and there are these people standing outside who are talking just about the area, and a lady points to the hotel behind us and says, "Oh, and that's the Gold Rush Hotel. That's the one that's supposed to be really haunted." And we both kind of look at each other, and we're like, "Oh, my God, you've got to be kidding." So we had plans to go to this this winery. In the car, I'm Googling all of this stuff about this hotel, and sure enough, not only is the hotel itself really haunted, it's our particular room, room number 10, that has had so many sightings and so many crazy things that have happened there. I guess at one point, the hotel was also a restaurant. The man Albert was a former slave, and he had moved to California after getting his freedom with his family, and he started a restaurant, and he built this house, and so I guess it was they lived upstairs. And I guess some kind of fire happened. There's speculation that kids were playing with matches or something, and something went wrong, and part of the house caught on fire, and Albert died. So I guess we're pretty lucky, because some people have claimed really sinister things have happened there. Like they wake up with scorch marks on their body. They've seen fireballs getting thrown down the hallway. So luckily we didn't see any of that. I guess there was some kind of cleansing of the house that took place, and that sinister spirit is no longer there. But Albert, there have been so many stories, because I guess room number 10 was his personal bedroom. And there's so many stories and complaints from all these different women saying they have felt groped or pinched in the middle of the night. So, I'd like to think that he's just kind of a perv and not super sinister, but make of that what you will. So that was kind of our strange experience. I guess his wife has also been seen in the house, so I'm pretty sure that's who I saw in the parlor as well. But anyway, that's my story. Thank you so much for this podcast. It's so great. I'd love it if you could put this on the air, because then I can convince my boyfriend to tell some of his, because he's got some great ones. But anyway, thank you so much.
Okay, it's his turn now.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that they let you get your rooms, where it's like, okay, the doors are open, you pick one. Is that so like nobody can go back and say, you put us in the haunted room?
It cracks me up how something will draw you to a room like that, where you think, oh, this is comfortable, I'm going to mm-hmm. enjoy this, only to terrorize you the whole time you're there.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? It's a bait and switch.
It kind of is. You know, if you want to like be a ghost and terrorize someone, it's like, oh, this room smells like milk and cookies.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So warm and cozy. And then all of a sudden it's like,
it smells like fart all night long.
Yeah. Or it's going to, you know, kind of gets like Conjuring or Amityville-ish throughout the evening.
Yeah.
But the smell of cookies still stays.
No.
I suppose anything you smell it too long or listen to it too often can get to be like, just like, oh God, make it stop. Mm-hmm. You know? So, at one point you're like, you never want to smell cookies again.
Yeah.
After staying, if something with that, like that were to happen. Good stories. Yeah. Have him share his now. Now that you've gotten yours into the show, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Danny. I've been a long-time listener, and I'm currently an EPP as well. I figured I would tell you my story. I have many, many, many experiences to tell you, and I just hope that you can pick one up and put it on the show. I would love to hear this one played back, and I hope listeners also love listening to it too. I'll try to remain I'll try not to ramble as much. I'm going to get straight to the point. So me being a dumb teenager, I enjoyed ghost hunting and paranormal activities with my friends. And we heard about this one place called Terra Vista Cemetery. And being the dumb kids that we are, we headed up towards the cemetery and met up with another group of kids. This cemetery had a long history of occult activity, suicide pacts in the area. There was a murder that went around where a father killed his children and then hung himself in a barn, or rumors of somebody did hang himself in a nearby barn that I know of, that is fact. But there's just a lot of talk of stuff going on around here, and we were just compelled to go see it. So we did. So we ran into this group of kids, and they had a Ouija board with them. And being the dumb kid that I am at the time, I was 16 years old, and the kids that were with us couldn't have been over 18 at all. We figured, oh, we're going to talk to ghosts and sit in the middle of this graveyard and have a good time. Well, with the history of the place that went on there, with the history of the stuff that went on there, it really was not a good idea. It definitely scarred us to the point where we'll never go back there again. I'll try to keep it as detailed as possible without it cutting me off here. So we went to the graveyard, and the graveyard's kind of surrounded by a forest. It's like a big giant circle. And it's a half circle, really. The forest is a half circle, and then around that is just field of tall grass, and the path that leads right to the graveyard and into the forest. So it's very neat looking, and it looks like something you would see in a horror movie, because it's just that long, narrow path that leads to headstones and death. So we head to the graveyard, and we're there in the middle of the night, and we're already creeped out. We got our little dim flashlights and our little cameras, and we're setting up shop. And the girl that we're with, who explains to us that she's a quote-unquote medium, one of the random strangers that we bumped into, pulls out a Ouija board And immediately I'm getting red flags because knowing that it's bad to use, it wasn't smart, especially in a graveyard that has had occult activity occur in it. So, but we sit under the graveyard, we sit up our candles, we're sitting there, we're talking to ghosts apparently. You know, I was skeptic at the time. I didn't believe anything that was going on. You know, I wanted things to happen, and I wanted to be able to see ghosts and be sensitive. And it wasn't until after this event that something woke up inside of me, and I became ultra sensitive to things. And now I just can't stop seeing things or hearing things or whatever. But this is what triggered it all. So we're sitting at the graveyard, and we're talking to apparently Elizabeth, which is one of the headstones that I remembered looking at. We're apparently talking to her with the Ouija board, and she's explaining things about, you know, how old her kids are and what the names of her kids are that are buried next to her, and what she thinks she likes, you know, so she likes flowers a lot, and it was just normal stuff. It was just seeing all of that harmless. Harmful at all. It seemed harmless, is what I meant to say. So we're just sitting there talking, and everything just slowly became heavy around the area. The more we played the board, the more the aura and the energy of the graveyard just slowly began to thicken and feel really negative. And it got to the point where the board eventually said, "I am scared." It spelled out, "I'm scared." And we all got really confused. Now, at this moment, the board says, "I'm scared." When you look up around us, like, the circle of the graveyard is just surrounded in the thickest fog, and we had no idea it rolled in. It just came so quickly, but this fog, like, consumed the graveyard, and we could only see the circle of the graveyard and barely see the forest around it and the path that we came from. It was just so thick, and in the middle of the night, too. And it just felt so cold. It got so cold so quickly. It felt like it was winter. And mind you, it was in fall. But it got ridiculously cold. And we just felt so uneasy. And it said, "I'm scared." And I asked, "Why are you scared? Everything's been fine until now. What are you scared of?" And it spelled out Sam. Now, my friend Samantha, who's there, I immediately thought, okay, you're scared of Samantha. Why are you scared of Samantha? And then they said, "No." And I said, "Then who's Sam?" And it spelled out the full name. And it spelled S-A-M-E-A-L, I think, or A-E-L, depending on however you want to spell it, which is Samael, which is, if you know certain religious texts or whatever, or I know you're a Christian man, but I even think you are, Tony. Samael is one of the seven angels or guardians of hell, depending on what you believe in or pantheon you believe in. But he is essentially an angel of death. It spelled his name. And I didn't know this at the time. And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, who's Samael at this point?" But at the moment, it spelled this thing's name, and even saying his initials, everything got quiet. The cicadas that we heard up coming up on the path, the forest life, it just died. Everything stopped. It just felt so quiet, so quickly. And when that happened, we just all of us kind of looked at each other. We got really quiet, and we were looking around like something's happening. And then I looked back at the board, and I went to go ask it another question, but as soon as I put my hand on it with everybody else, it just spelled out "run." It didn't say anything else. It just said "run." And the second it said that, we heard, and I can't even describe the sound that panned around us in the forest. And it was like in a horror movie. It really was. Surround sound panning all the way around from the left of the forest all the way around to the right of the forest around the cliff, and it stopped. Was this, the best I could describe it, was like a banshee scream mixed with a velociraptor's roar. It was just the most demonic, blood-curdling screeching that you could have ever heard. And we freaked out. I damn near pissed myself. My friend Samantha burst into tears and saying that we're going to die. And she was super empathic at the time. Like, she could feel all the negativity, and she was getting to the point where she was just bawling. She was vomiting, feeling sick. She wanted to go immediately. My friend Travis, at the time, was, I would call it comatose, but awake. He was just standing there, and he was just zoned out. Like, we couldn't get him to move or frozen. And I think he was frozen in fear. Like, he was getting the worst of it. Something was latched onto him, or I don't know what was going on, but he couldn't move. He was just kind of, like, zoned out, like, dead face, you know, like, he was knocked out, but awake. It's hard to explain. But we all just start packing up and getting ready to go. I'm telling Travis to follow me, and he's just kind of, like, barely treading behind me. I'm sticking with him and just walking with him. Everybody's running away, running down the path as fast as they can. And I'm walking with Joey and Travis, which were the only three left, because the other kid's just fucking poked. It's part of my language. When we got to that, when we got to the entrance of the path, I suddenly couldn't move. And I had this, I can't explain the feeling that I felt. I was walking, and then I suddenly stopped. I couldn't move any part of my body, and I had this feeling of absolute dread and sadness, and this feeling that just told you to give up. Like, this is it. You were going to die. And I couldn't move. And I heard my friend Joey scream like a little girl. And he says, "What is that? What is that?" And he's pointing his flashlight in a direction that I can just barely move my head to the left to see what was there. And there was this black figure with flaming red eyes. And he stood at least 10 feet, but he wasn't standing yet. He was crouched in the thick grass to my left, maybe 10 feet away. Just crouched there, and as the light hit him from the flashlight, it didn't really hit him. It was because of the fog or whatever, but when the light hit him, it seemed to just swallow it up, or go around it, or avoid it entirely. You just saw blackness. It was the scariest thing you could ever lay eyes on. And it was just sitting there crouched with its head tilted at us. And Joey, being the fight response, instead of the flight response, goes to, quote-unquote, fight it. But Travis snaps out of it, grabs me. We see this figure, and I get carried off by Travis. And Travis picks up Joey and me and just starts dragging us and running as fast as he can away. But he didn't do that before I saw, when I turned to my left and I saw this thing, and it was looking right at me, and I don't know why it was looking directly at me, maybe it wasn't, but I just felt like it was targeting me at that point. And I looked at it, and it stood up at least 10 feet, and it looked down at me, and at that point I thought it was dead. Like, that was it. There was no living beyond this point. I've seen the most evilest thing in person 10 feet from me. I'm dead. There's no coming out of this alive. And nobody's going to believe me if I do. And at that moment, Travis picks me up. He snaps out of his trance-like state. He picks me up over his shoulder. And he's a big dude, but the fact that he was able to do this, maybe it was his adrenaline or whatever, but he picked me up and picked Joey up on both shoulders like the Hulk and just charged out of the forest down the path as fast as we could. And as we're running, we're hearing giggling, we're hearing laughter from the quote-unquote children that we were talking to with the Ouija board, and we were hearing that blood-curdling screeching chasing us from behind. It was the scariest thing I ever went through, supernaturally, and it was just the most paranormal experience I've ever had, and it's never been any more intense than that. We got to the car. It wouldn't start. It was the whole 9 yards of horror movie type events. And we got to the car. It wouldn't start. We were still hearing the laughing, the shaking, and everything was, it was just crazy. We can't even explain it correctly because there was so much going on at once. We got into the car. You tried to start it. The car shook. As if people were pushing and pulling on it. We were hearing the giggling and the laughing of children. We were hearing the screeching all mixed together, and then it just stopped. And Samantha and Joey and myself and Travis, we were all in tears. We thought, this is it. we're done. We're all going to die. This is, you know, we're never going to be seen again. And then it all just stopped after that. And we started the car, and we just drove on. None of us spoke for a good hour as we drove away and gradually dropped each other off at home. And we got to Samantha's house, and I told her, you know, sleep with the light on. I'll call you when you get home, or I'll call you when I get home. And we all just kind of like, we just never spoke of it again after that. And it scarred us for life, but it let me know, and it allowed me to realize that there are stronger things out there that are looking to harm us and can harm us if they have enough power to. And it made me wise up and made me be smart about the hunting and the EVP that I've done and searching for ghosts. And it definitely opened my eyes. But after those events, I was able to see, hear, and even touch things that other people can't. And I am where I am now because of it, so I don't regret it. But at the same time, you can't unsee it. And I warn everybody who is a listener to be careful and don't be an idiot like I was, because horrible things can happen to you, and horrible things did continue to happen to all of us because of it. This is just one out of many stories, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. Again, sorry that it was chopped up into two voicemails. I hope to God that you can play it, because I would love to hear it, and I would love to hear your guys' input on it. You should bring Harper onto the show more. She's adorable. Because I love listening to when she's there. Your daughter is adorable, and she's just as sensitive as Jenny, it seems. Anyways, thank you for listening, and you guys have a nice one. Bye.
She's in the other room right now playing with imaginary friends.
No, she's not. So we should have a whole special Ouija awareness day for Ouija board playing in cemeteries, because that happens a lot.
It is quite common, and then it's usually met with something like this where it's like, and I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare where it's like, and we did it again.
Yeah.
It's like one time and done.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he was, you know, he got the lesson learned there,
right.
and you know, takes it a little more seriously. But I think, you know, all of us at some point are on the other side of that, where it's like, it's just this or that. And then eventually it's like, okay. And I think the realization comes either, you know, a number of ways, whether it's something like this where something happens by doing it, or just hearing enough stories going, oh, shit, I've heard enough cautionary tales now.
Right.
So I'm wondering if our show has been that for some, preventing some of those situations from happening because of the cautionary tales.
I hope at least we've saved somebody from a bad experience like this.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hello, my name is Jeremiah, and I'm calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm calling to make a comment and also have a little short story of my own that I want to share. Now, the comment is about the most recent episode that I heard yesterday when I was at work. It was about a lady who was driving on the highway, and there was a truck behind her that she thought was going to pass her, and it ended up disappearing. Well, I kind of had a similar experience. I was driving from Allentown into Quakertown, and it's just a small little stretch of highway. And when you get to the small town of Quakertown on 309 South, once you pass Quakertown and stay on 309, you get to a small little stretch of highway that takes you all the way into Philadelphia. Well, I had just got on that small stretch of highway. It's around the area, I think, of Telford or Percy. I'm driving down the highway in my left lane, and there was a small red car behind me. And when the car was behind me, it was kind of getting close, like kind of too close. That's why I was looking back, like, what's this car doing? So I see him flip his signal and go over to the right lane like he's going to pass me. Well, this area of highway, there's no exits yet. I had just passed one of the exits, and there wasn't any more exits for another couple of miles. And I'm waiting for this guy to pass me because I saw him go into the right lane, and he never passed me. So I turned around to see where he was, and the car was gone. So I wanted to tell that lady I had a similar experience of a car that just disappeared, you know, which is weird. And when it first happened, I wasn't really thinking ghost, you know. I was thinking maybe I was just driving for a long time and just kind of mistaken what really happened, but I know that's what happened. And so that's kind of one experience I wanted to share, plus a comment to that lady. But I have an experience of my own that I wanted to share too, which is kind of freaky. And just to kind of set the stage for what was happening, two things. My wife, her father passed away about 20 years ago. And recently, she'd been having, like, he'd been coming to her in her dreams, kind of. Like, he would talk to her and tell her things. She'd always tell me she had a dream about her dad. And her dad told her this, her dad told her that. Well, that's just kind of a part of what I'm about to tell you. The second part is, where I live at, there's an abandoned house. And the guy who used to live there, I guess he went to jail. And at some point, he was in jail. He got out, and he came back. But the house was already pretty much boarded up. The city took it over. And he would just kind of come and sit on the front porch. And when he came around, the neighbors didn't like it. I guess when all this happened, when he went to jail and stuff, it was before I moved there. And he was a crackhead. He was trying to break into cars, break into people's houses. He was stealing stuff. And the neighbors didn't like it. So I didn't like it either. I was nervous. And what he would do is he would park his car across the street of my house in this small little parking lot of the church. And that's where he slept. He would sleep in his little car. Well, the one morning when I was going to work, I went to work. And I work about an hour away from where I live at. And my wife calls me on the phone and she's like, "Did you leave yet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I left, you know, like a half an hour ago." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "Well, I keep hearing noise downstairs." I'm like, "Well, it's not me. You know, maybe it's one of the kids, because we got four kids. And sometimes I'll go down to use the bathroom or whatever." So she's like, "All right, whatever." So then she calls me back again and she's like, "The alarm on your phone keeps going off, keeps turning on." I'm like, "And?" She's like, "Yeah, well, I keep turning it off and it keeps turning back on." I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. Just turn it off." And so then she calls me again and she's like, "I don't know what's going on, but downstairs, the kitchen sink, the water keeps turning on." And I'm like, "Well, somebody got to be down there. One of the kids got to be down there. Something. Somebody's down there turning the water on." And she's like, "No, there's nobody down there. The water's turning on and off by itself. And it's freaking me out, and I don't know what's going on." And I'm just like, "I don't know what to tell you, you know." "I don't know what to tell you. I'm almost at work. It's not me turning the water off and on, so I don't know who will be turning the water off and on, but I don't know." And so she hung up. She calls me back again for the third time. "I don't know what's going on. The battery, your cell phone keeps going on, the alarm. I keep turning it off. I took the battery out. And it keeps ringing and it's freaking me out. I keep hearing the water turning off and on in the kitchen. And finally, I took your cell phone. I threw it down in the basement because I don't want to hear the alarm going off anymore." She had my son take the phone down to the basement. And that's when I started getting a little freaked out. I'm like, "Wait a minute. You took the battery out of my phone. The phone keeps ringing, even though the battery's taken out." At this point, I don't know if I even believe her or not. You know what I mean? So then she calls me back again. And she's like, "I finally went downstairs to see what's going on with the water. And I hear my father telling me, in a voice in my head, my father tells me, 'Don't go downstairs. Don't worry. It's me. And I'm doing what I can. I'm working to help keep you safe.'" And this time I'm even more freaked out. I'm like, "All right, you must be having some kind of crazy dream. I don't know what's going on, but that's just weird. Your father's coming to you to tell you, don't worry, he's working to keep you safe." And so that was the end of it. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 months later when the weather started getting better. This was last winter when this happened, that the weather started getting a little better outside. It was just about spring, and I went out to the backyard to do a little bit of cleaning. And right by our bathroom window in the backyard, I have a piece of wood that's covering that window. That way nobody can see in our bathroom window, you know? And so I noticed that the piece of wood was moved to the side. And when I moved the wood, I can see that the storm window and the bathroom window was ripped open. Like somebody, I could tell it was all marked up. I could tell somebody shoved the screwdriver in there and was trying to pop it up, and they pulled the window up about 6 inches, but they couldn't get the window up the rest of the way, so they weren't able to get inside the window. And that's when I got these chills over me. I'm like, wait a minute. This could have been what was happening that morning when my wife was having all those experiences. Maybe it really was her father that was, you know, working to help protect her, making all that noise downstairs, and with the alarm and the water going off and all the strange noises my wife was hearing. Could have been this freaking crackhead that was sleeping in his car across the street, and as soon as he saw me go to work, was trying to break it in my back window. And it could have been some kind of, I don't know, divine intervention or whatever you would call it, you know, the spirit world. My wife's guardian angel, I guess her father, was actually working down there to make all that noise to scare this guy away. So that's my story. I thought it was kind of strange, and I believe it's true. And I thought I would share that with you guys. I thought you guys might think it was interesting. I don't know if you had anybody else who had a similar experience of a spirit, you know, protecting and doing things to help keep them safe. But I thought you might find it interesting, and I'm glad, you know, I hope I have the opportunity to get this on the show. And I want to say thanks for just having the show and giving everybody a platform to share their experiences. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That's really good, though, that the wife was able to get that message mm-hmm. and not go downstairs, because that could have ended tragically.
Sure. It's one of those times where it's, you know, they intervene mm-hmm. In a positive way. And I think, you know, honestly, you know, we all think ghost, scary, spooky, sometimes dark. I think more times than not, when you hear of them actually interacting in some way meaningful, it ends up being more positive.
Yeah.
Than it does, especially if it's like a human type ghost, mm-hmm. than it does like, oh, and then it led them to falling down the elevator shaft, you know, or something like that. It seems to be that it's more of a positive than a negative, although it is a spooky thing. So yeah. you tend to think more negative naturally on it, but there you go. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. We greatly appreciate that. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Get access to all those bonus episodes of the show at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year, get a month free, and a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.